Good morning to you, Professor.
And good morning to you, Fran.
It's good to talk to you. Tell us about the condition of the air here in Tipperary and how that affects asthma.
Well, we don't know. That's the easiest answer, because there is very little, if any, air monitoring done. You may know a little bit about my history, maybe not, but I am actually in a car park in County Tip at the moment. I'm driving on my way to Birr, where we are actually doing one of the few air pollution campaigns that there have been in this whole area of your listenership. Maybe I'll get onto that, but first I think we should congratulate the Asthma Society. Their new campaign is really to protect the health of the Irish population, and what they're saying is that you need a lot more air monitoring for over all of the counties, really, in order to be able to do that. You need the information first before you make the advice or give the early warnings. So asthmatics, as well as those who have cardio problems, and young, old, or pregnant.
And how do we compare to other countries where this kind of monitoring is concerned?
Very poorly indeed, I would say, in one particular respect that's very important. And that's called real-time monitoring. And that's monitoring in which you measure materials, and perhaps the two most important are called particulate matter is one of them, and that's about, or maybe 1/30th the size of a human hair, that they come off of fireplaces with burning coal, burning peat, burning wood, and get into our lungs, and they, of course, go outdoors as well, up the chimneys. It's important to be able to do that, the measurement of that, and also pass on the information about the levels of them to the public very quickly, and we call that real time. That's one, and nitrogen dioxide is another very important one. A lot of that in the news recently, obviously, because of the Volkswagen emissions scandal. We need to do a lot more of that. There is actually a map on the web that's to do with called the World Index of Health. And what you see there is, certainly all over Europe, there is a mass of these real-time monitoring stations for just those toxic materials. And if you look at Ireland, and in September, it actually had none. Two more have appeared in the last month, which is excellent, of course. Mm-hmm. But they're both in the Dublin area, and they don't really give full details about even Cork, which is where I come from, and certainly not very much detail at all about rural Ireland. And where I'm actually sitting at the moment would be classified as an area where there is some limited pollution monitoring done in Claremorris in Mayo to represent you.
That's incredible, isn't it? If we did have this kind of information about the condition of the air, what would we do with it? I mean, would we literally warn people when it's particularly bad, or how does that work?
Well, the aim would be really to link in with GPs and accident and emergency departments in the first place in order to work out when conditions are such that asthmatics, in particular, and this is why that society is so interested in it, shouldn't really go out jogging or walking, taking the baby out in a pram or whatever. You need to see that data in real time. It has to later then be correlated with maybe admissions that there are. The HSE, therefore, has to get involved by coordinating with the EPA, who's responsible for coordinating the air pollution program, in which we can plan for the future. But it is something that's quite different in Ireland from really the rest of Europe, where we have an Air Pollution Act here. And the idea behind that is essentially to make sure that we comply with some of the EU legislation that there is. Other countries have Clean Air Acts, and what they do is to put the health and well-being of the population front and center. What that means is doing basically over and above what the limited measurements that are required by the EU. So on the whole, Ireland is doing that. But I would certainly, particularly your listenership, get in touch with your local minister who, for the environment and asked why we haven't got a Clean Air Act.
It's interesting. And just even to be cynical about it, I presume that, asthma sufferers are clogging up our emergency departments and our GPs and one thing and another. And if they had this information, they might be able to avoid situations that aggravate their condition.
That would be the absolute holy grail of doing real-time measurements with real-time reporting to people to give people the idea when they shouldn't go out. If you've ever been to Los Angeles or somewhere like that, I mean, you'll know that on the weather reports on TV and everything, they not only have how much rain, well, very little, how much sunshine, but also how much ozone. A very important pollutant too when you're living in a big city. The big problems for areas like TIP are solid domestic fuel burning, and that's why we're actually doing something currently in Burr to measure what contributions to the particulate pollution there are from burning wood, coal, and peat.
And that's what you're doing right now, Professor, is it? That's what you're going to do?
Oh, that's what we're doing currently. I actually have a PhD student, one of our PhD students from the crack lab called Paul up in Burr. I'm going to visit now, who's got a very sophisticated set of instrumentation. It's far more than really needed for a standard look at the air pollution of a particular area. We are doing a research project, but that gives the EPA enormous information about the contributions from burning of something like peat, which, of course, is very important in that area. So just as a call-out to Paul Buckley, I should be seeing you soon.